This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, joined by
Zachary Newton, your other host. Welcome back to Three Body Problem.
I said it once, I'll say it again. This show is very difficult not to binge watch. It's damn good, Zach, and it's honestly the perfect show to pod. It has me wanting to go buy the book and read it, to be honest with you. It's mixing every sort of type of thing about a show that I'm in the mood for right now into one show. It kind of has like the sci-fi mystery of a silo. It has the game aspect of a Squid Game type of Alice in Borderland feel to it. And it has the ruthlessness of a show like a Silo or Game of Thrones, as we've talked about, as we R.I.P. Jack Rooney, my favorite character.
I know. It was so soon.
Golly, man.
I guess my question is, do you think he's dead, right? Like, does this simulation go beyond the game?
To be determined. That thought did occur to me that he could still be alive. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't mind it necessarily.
Well,
but that machine, who knows what the capabilities of that machine are, and if they are able to just upload his entire consciousness through that machine to something on their ships or something.
Well, that's interesting too. But you know, your philosophy of always like, you know, show me the body. If there's not a body, they might not be dead. Would you consider this being a body being shown, considering Dashi could not see anything?
Well, we know the body's going to be there, though. I'm assuming. Was Dashi looking at the same room?
Yeah, he was looking at the same room. He was looking right up at the window. You couldn't see anybody walking in there. You could not see Jack walking in there. You could not see Tatiana. Didn't see the death. Didn't see the crack in the window, which was, I think, the most interesting. Just considering when Tatiana was talking to Augie and lit her cigarette, you didn't see any part of Tatiana or her lighter, but you saw the cigarette get lighted randomly or lit randomly. But didn't see a crack in the window here. So not sure what's going to happen here, if he's really dead or not. I think that's TBD.
The thing though, is that the simulation has, you know, it gives you full sensory. It gives you touch, feel, taste, pain, everything in the simulation, I'm assuming. Why would it just end there? If they're able to jack into your brain, right? I think Saul's the one who mentions, or Augie's the one who mentions, that they can hack your brain with this machine when she puts it on in the episode. Why would it end there? They could just kind of bring you into that reality and what you are feeling. For example, maybe Jack wasn't even in that room. Maybe the moment he walked into his house, he did something else. Maybe he killed himself in some other part of the house.
Maybe he never walked into his room. Maybe he never left the room with Tatiana. Like maybe.
No, but Clarence saw him arrive.
Okay, Clarence, you're right. Yeah, good point.
And Clarence hasn't put on that helmet yet. So now we have to figure out if the helmet is something. I feel like the helmet is kind of like an actual video game. It's using video game type mechanics to addict these people to this game. And who wouldn't be like absolutely addicted to a game like that, where you put on this helmet and it transports you into another world, right?
Yeah, this is like taking VR, AR to like the next level, or mixed reality, whatever you want to call it, to the next level. I would play this. Like, I'm not skeptical of VR games. It's just not my jam. It's not the thing that I care that much about, because the fidelity of it, I feel like, is just so low.
Would you play it if it could jack into your brain like that, though?
Look, in real life, no, I wouldn't play something if it was going to jack up my brain. But I'm just like thinking about the technology. Like, if this were, all right, so if I knew it was jacking into my brain and doing shit to it, no, like that's just inviting chaos. But if you don't know, I mean, I wouldn't suspect that this thing is going to control my brain or anything like that. So in real life, I think this would be such an epic thing. Like, I think about some of those like FPS, like, you know, like Call of Duty games or Battlefield. And I've seen some contraptions online where you've got like this whole, like, I don't know, circle that you're kind of standing in. You got this like track that you run on in any direction. You got like a pressurized body suit. So if you get shot, you feel it. Like that, I think, would be from a technical like gaming point of view, incredible. Like, that would be so interesting to me. But in the show, if you knew it was jacking in your brain, no, I don't think I would be putting it on.
I don't think it's ever going to be something that you know right off the bat. They're not going to say like, hey, this product is, you know, unless it's like a Neuralink, right? Like Neuralink, mm-hmm. The design of a Neuralink is to
install a computer in your brain. In your literally brain. Has electronics touching your brain.
Which to me is something that is like, why would I ever want something to alter that, unless you had a disability,
mm-hmm.
or something like I saw an incredible video of somebody in a wheelchair who was pretty much controlling his computer with his mind via Neuralink.
Yeah.
Well,
there's stuff like that, and people that are blind that you can correct, you know, some vision. It's not like you're gonna have like 20/20 like perfect vision like normal, at least not right now. But mm-hmm. I mean, I've even seen some things where, you kind of have like this camera on a set of glasses that's kind of wired into your brain, and it picks up light, and you're able to kind of like make outlines and see shapes. Like I could see situations like that being really cool, and like that's the upside of all of this really neat technology. But then you're like, okay. Somebody malicious will get their hands on this stuff at some point. What are they going to do? Like, talk about being brainwashed. Like, you could really, I would imagine you could control people, which they kind of talk about in this show where it's like, oh, you know, while you're playing the game, somebody's playing you. And I'm kind of like wondering, like, what on earth does that actually mean? Because every time these people play, they are in the same exact spot when they die. Or like they're just laying down in their bed playing. So like, what would the other person actually be playing? Is it just like, I don't know, a metaphor for them watching you, or something else? I'm not quite sure.
I think that's TBD, right? I mean, mm-hmm. There's so much going on here. We know the answers to very little, but look at what it's done to Jin. She looks like a slob. Like, she literally has a VR set. Her boyfriend comes home. He's like, it's 3 a.m. What are you doing? She looks like a mess. She looks like her hair hasn't been washed in days.
Yeah.
It's made her life. She's obsessed with the game. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely kicking into that dopamine area of the brain where it's like that risk reward or that reward type of system, mm-hmm. where these two are just obsessed with it. They're like secret addicts while their friends are like pleading with them not to play this game, right?
Yeah.
And yet they do. And I have a lot of theories about what's going on in the game, but we'll get to that a little later. We do kind of get the notion that maybe these suicides aren't suicides, and maybe every single one of these has been this girl. What's her name?
Tatiana.
If her name is Tatiana, like real name, because we don't know if anything she's saying is actually true.
Yeah.
We don't know if she's actually the embodiment of these Santi people, which is interesting in and of itself, because she meets Clarence in the last episode at the graveyard and makes up a story about her father.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least we think it's made up, because we know that grave she was standing in front of was not a man's. So yeah. We know that that wasn't her father. Which you would think Clarence as a detective would walk by that grave to see the name of whoever, you know?
Because he's been, she was still standing there.
He's been endlessly curious about everything, right?
Yeah.
And he's been looking for signs of like invisible people who can kind of just appear in and out of nowhere. But at the start of this episode, he finds another scientist dead, Oppenheimer style. If you watched Oppenheimer, that's how his mistress either kills herself or is killed. That is kind of one of the mysteries in Oppenheimer, is whether mm-hmm. she was killed or not. And he finally gets his hand on a helmet, which, by the way, that is a really strange way to kill yourself. If that, it looked very much like a murder.
Yeah, it is really
weird. Head down in the tub. Although stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Seems to know a lot about that method of suicide, because the moment Augie mentioned it, or Saul mentioned it, and they were like, how does that even happen? He says, oh, you take a lot of pills. It's almost as if he kind of like, maybe you might have looked up some suicide methods in the past. Yeah. Which was kind of like a dark note that none of his friends like even batted an eye at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he does find a helmet, and the helmet is kind of like the central piece of this episode, which, you know, something I really enjoyed on this episode is the fact that it was pretty much exclusively Jin and Jack. It's like this show's really taking its time. It's not bouncing, trying to fit 7 characters for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we can, you know, because the last great thing that D.B. Weiss and Benioff did here was Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones does that very well, where you have attachments to every single character. And 3 episodes in, I'm pretty much attached to every single character already. To the point where, like, they just killed my favorite character in this episode. So,
and you still want to keep watching, which reminds me a lot of some other shows.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on. Game of Thrones did a really good job with that. I will say it took me a little more than, I don't know if you were saying 3 episodes in this one to get into it, or 3 episodes in Game of Thrones. I really loved the way Game of Thrones, you know, broke down each of its episodes. It was really like honed in on maybe 2 stories at max. Like, you were not trying to cram everything. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, that would be so annoying. But it really gets you in, you know, into the show. And I feel like it can be a little difficult to do that in a way where it doesn't become stale and it's just like, oh, every other episode we're going to focus on this character or this character combo. But I do think they did a good job, and hopefully they keep up that good job here.
As our resident, you know, I'm going to say this because we did get into a little heated discussion on the previous episode where we argued about whether you would put on the helmet or whether you wouldn't put on the helmet. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say thank you, because if this was a real life scenario, you would be Jin or Jack, and I would probably be Saul or Augie, because you put on the helmet first, and that is the consequences of that is either you die or you get invited to the, you know, the super secret, the nefarious elite organization. Yeah. Which we hope you don't turn on us for good, but
I wouldn't be putting my life on the line there, so I'd probably join.
There you go. Well, folks, you got an admission that Zach is going to welcome in.
Hey, I didn't say I was going to help them take over the Earth.
You just don't,
I mean, come
die
on, like,
right,
like,
the
look at, like, these people have built spaceships, like, in the span of a stable era. You've built like a massive fleet, and you're coming to Earth. Like, they're gonna fuck with you whether you want them to or not, or you're helping them or not. Like, I feel like these Santi could come here and just obliterate the planet in a half a second. I don't know much about them, but it's a lot. A lot
Jack
of people
is
come.
Crazy for leaving that meeting. He's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Why? Because Augie calls him out when all the friends get together. Mm-hmm. She's like, you don't even have Alexa in your house. And you find, and Will says the thing that everybody's thinking is, a mysterious box. Somebody breaks into your house, leaves a mysterious box here. Nobody gets picked up on camera. There's a helmet inside. And your first thought is, I'm going to put it on. Like, you know, like, everybody's thinking that, at least rational people are thinking, like, you're not putting this on. Like, I related to Saul on this episode in the sense that Augie says, don't put on that helmet. He's like, I'm not going to put on this helmet. Like, he's the only person so far, except for Will. He hasn't had a chance to put on the helmet, really.
Mm-hmm.
Saul's the only guy who's like, sees the helmet. It doesn't put the damn thing on.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's like exactly what I was saying in the last episode. You guys are putting on the helmet, which, by the way, to be fair, you need the people who are going to put on the helmet without thinking. Just like, they're too so curious that they can't resist the curiosity. They're not thinking about what the effects could be after the fact. And we see what one of the effects is. Jack gets killed. But you need those people to almost kind of die before the other, like, the second layer of friends comes in and they're like, okay, now we got to get to the bottom of what's going on here. Yeah. And then, like, kind of reverse engineer.
Which is why I think Jin, you know, putting the helmet on is a lot more reasonable than Jack's putting the helmet on. Because she, I mean, it was more of like out of curiosity, right? Like, you know, somebody she knows just died. She's like, oh, maybe this contributed to it. Let me look into it. Let me see what's going on. And to be fair, right? Like, in Jack's defense,
I love Jack, bro. There's no defense needed.
It wasn't the first time that he put the helmet on, being after just randomly mysteriously appeared at his home. He put on the helmet with Jin. He put on Jin's helmet. So he had already used the helmet. So it was already sort of like this innocent thing for him, I guess, at this point. So I just don't think he cared as much. I was like, oh, cool, I got one too. Yeah, weird. I don't know who gave it to me, but I mean, it didn't hurt me last time I put it on. I died in the game. I was alive in real life. So who cares? So yeah, I don't know. But I don't think it was as weird as we make it sound. It's just like, if somebody just showed up and dropped something off inside your home and you'd had no idea,
I wouldn't put it on. Yeah, I wouldn't put it on. There's no way. That's crazy. Jin's at least was given to her, you know? You know, anyways. And then the whole interesting part here is the fact that it was given to her by the woman who was the first to contact these people.
Yeah. That's the very interesting thing. And it was a long time ago that she had contacted them.
Yes.
I mean,
by the way, no flashback in this episode, which I think I was kind of happy. I was like, all right, just keep us here for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to Mongolia.
You don't always need to be building the historical timeline, like build the interest here where we are in real, you know, in modern day. But I'm wondering, like, is this the first time that the Santi would ever have gotten here, right? Like, are they just still in transit, you know, and they've never been to Earth? And if they have, how is their technology here? Did they give information to, you know, well, what was his name? Mike?
Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike Evans. Because, I mean, he's definitely involved, which I think there's a couple things that I was assuming in the last episode that seemed to be panning out, though we didn't make any bets on it. One, Mike Evans is kind of behind the game thing. And I don't know to what extent he is, but obviously we know he is based on the conversations he has in this episode. And also, the Santi aren't humans.
I don't even think they're going to look like humans. They're not going to look like humans. Yeah.
No. So, like, I mean, at the very least, those two things are panning out in my favor for what I was believing from the first two episodes.
I think one of my theories is also possibly panning out, and that's Augie got this countdown, and the countdown is a threat that she's also going to get killed, right? Mm-hmm. The reason I said that I think she possibly got the countdown is because this civilization is trying to stop them from advancing so that they're not a threat to them when they try to take over.
Yeah.
And whatever the nanofiber technology is probably something crucial that could be used as a defense or a weapon against whatever these creatures are.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very much like they're AI in some way, because you have Mike Evans in that scene where you get the reveal, which I'm glad we get this reveal. Episode 3, we find out that these people are very much human. They're probably located, I'm assuming they're located on Earth. This is not like an alternate version of Mike Evans or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And although they're very futuristic, he has like this old-timey microphone on his desk. And even what I'm assuming is like this sentient AI that he's speaking to, or very much raising like a child, mm-hmm. reading children's stories like Hansel and Gretel, is like on this kind of old-timey looking machine, which they do a very Space Odyssey 2001 type of thing where they do these single isolated shots on the AI, and they even kind of do like this. I would have to go and listen to it again to see if I heard it right, but mm-hmm. they do a specific type of audio effect where you just get this eerie feeling of whatever this AI is, because it mentions that the boy was scared but the girl was not, referring to Hansel and Gretel.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, do humans feel fear individually? And he says, yes, they do. And he says, oh, our kind feels fear together. Mm. So like we feel it all at once because it's a hive mind.
I was going to say, I really don't want another freaking hive mind thing. I'm so over hive minds, especially after invasion, right? Like this, I'm kind of tired of that. I don't know about you.
I think it can be done in a way that probably wouldn't be like in what you're tired of from what I what you're tired of is you can take out the whole army by destroying one computer. That's what you're tired
it's,
of.
It's frustrating. I mean, like it.
You're tired of the Night's Watch, the Night King.
Yes.
You take out one.
Yeah, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. Yeah. Like, again, I'll use Invasion as an example, but there's a lot more where it's just like you're having what feels like these senseless battles. And it's just like, oh, last minute, aha, gotcha. And then you win. It's just like things flip in an instant. I don't like that. It doesn't feel tactical. It doesn't feel like a war. It just feels like a Spec Ops mission.
Zach's referring to Invasion on Apple TV. Yeah. We won't do any spoilers there, but that's what he's referring to at the moment. Will takes his shot at Jin. Oh, he takes a shot at Jin. he takes a shot. He tries to like invite her to go bird watching in Patagonia.
Wow, cute.
And there's a couple interesting scenes with Will that take place in this episode. One being this, that he's taken Jack's advice of not... I think Will becomes a more central figure after this episode. Now that Jack is dead, I think it's going to be a character transforming moment for him. But I also think that there's this really odd moment with Will. He's in the hospital. He's coming down off of medication, which might be key later in the season of maybe this medication is a way to see this realm that others can't see. He says things that sound loony, like somebody coming off of medication or, you know, what do you call that? What's that medication that puts you... Anesthesia. It's like he's saying stuff that kind of feels like you're coming down from like anesthesia. But he says things that are actually true. He calls out Jack. He says things like, you've got a funny hat on. He says things like that. And Jack had a funny hat on in like the medieval world at first, right? Or maybe he was referring to the helmet. Then he refers to Jin's boyfriend, Raj, as chaos. The key word is chaos and stable. So he refers to him as chaos. Now, we don't know how much of that is true, right? We have to take some of these things with a grain of salt. Maybe that's just because he's jealous. But maybe it's something deeper. And then he also mentions that Saul doesn't have a hat. So he mentions that, which Saul's the only one who hasn't put the helmet on yet. So those are things that I think he was seeing things in the state of this video game world, where he was kind of on a different plane. And I think that might become an important element later on. Did you catch those? And what did you think?
I caught it. I didn't think into it or look into it as much as you did. I mean, I just kind of thought it was like somebody coming off of anesthesia. I mean, I've seen it before. You say some weird stuff, you think some weird things, but...
Oh, by the way, he talks about the cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a conversation with the cancer.
And what did the cancer want?
Wanted a host. It wanted to live there. Yeah. Which is very similar to the whole Santee thing.
It's, like, it's identical. It's identical.
There are pair. I mean... In a show, I feel like you don't do those kinds of things. You don't draw those parallels unless there's a point for it.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the point is. I kind of hope that the anesthesia thing isn't like a big play.
No, and this, I just think,
can you imagine like we're three episodes later and it's like, how are we going to defeat these things? All right, let's drug up.
Well,
I wouldn't want that.
I don't know. It could be something that they do, not all go under anesthesia, but we're going to take whatever that medicine was called, dialoid or whatever. Saul was correcting one. Jin and Jack solve both level 2 and 3.
Heck yeah.
And one of my notes there is that somehow they managed to find 2-player mode, which seems to be when you put the helmet on in proximity or looking at the person that has the helmet, that it goes to 2-player mode. And I like that the show doesn't spell that out for you. Like, oh, how do we enter 2-player mode? No, it just kind of like makes you figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to have like the human crisis when they realize, in my opinion, that all of the scientists that they go up against, like the Aristotle, Galileo, Turing, and Newton, I have a feeling those are other players elsewhere. And that when they are beating level 2 or level 3... that those 2 people are dying, if I had to guess. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. They may be NPCs, but they were talking too plainly to me to be NPCs. Like when he says, you're an effing troll, or he says, bullshit, you know. And it's, when they're talking like that, to me, it was like, oh, these are other players. And they're going up against them. And remember, everybody's choosing a different name. She's chosen Copernicus. They're all choosing scientific names. So everybody here could have just changed their name and they're being known as Aristotle, Galileo, Newton, Turing, that kind of stuff.
That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I thought they were, I felt that they were NPCs this entire time, but you do make a valid point, right? Like it, what they, their commentary does feel somewhat out of character for.
Yes. This is bullshit.
People born in that time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what their day to days were like, but I mean, I would assume you at least had like an English accent. I didn't really pick up on anything strong.
Yeah. So. From who?
Anybody really.
I don't think all of them had English accents. The first two guys you meet are not English, I don't believe. That's the level two guys who are talking to the Pope, who you gave a good bit of trivia before the before we hit record on who the Pope is, and I did not catch it.
Oh yeah, you want me to spell?
Oh
it
yeah,
out?
Yeah. It's a volleyball lobby. You just like walked by, it. You watched the ball bounce on the floor.
It's Varys from Game of Thrones. I don't know how. I could. Yeah. He's got hair. Like I didn't catch it at first. You know, if he was bald, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you. I know you. Took a minute for that one to sink in.
Is this going to just be a thing that they just give us one Game of Thrones character after another just kind of like slipped into the show?
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like once you've worked with people like that for so long, you just kind of like pull them in here and there just to, hey, how you doing? You want a part?
I have a feeling that this is going to be PvP, that this is going to, and for those who don't know the term PvP, in like if you're playing a video game, you have different types of combat or systems. PvP is player versus player. PvE is player versus
environment.
So that's like NPC. So those are fake. Those are computers, right? I have a feeling this is a mix. I think level one was kind of like a tutorial mission. So everybody was an NPC in level one. Level two, you see now there's other players in the game. And we find out later when they get invited to meet Tatiana at this nefarious looking bar that they're not the only players. They're the only two, Jack and her, who have who are the champions, I guess. They're the game champions from the UK. They're the only two who have beaten level three, right, to get to level four. And that there's other champions around the world who have also done the same. So this is like turning into Hunger Games too. Like it's combining every
it's got a lot
single
of everything.
Which but everything that like makes you that's so bingeable that makes you that makes it like a worldwide phenomenon for sure.
Yeah.
Netflix got a special one here on their hands, man.
They do. You know, one thing about the game, I don't quite know where it's really going to take us, right? Like, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, maybe it's a recruitment tool. My question is like, recruitment for what though? Like, I'm still vague on that. It does. I mean, I still think it's possible the game itself was created by humans, probably under the guidance of technology created by Santi. That's a possibility. But it doesn't, I don't feel like it's to wake people up necessarily, like I thought in the last episode where it was like, you know, trying to get you to figure some, solve some problem that would give you some upper advantage to defeating the Santi in the future. I kind of feel like it was just making them, what, sympathetic to the Santi?
Yeah.
Like, feel, like
well,
feeling for
them.
You know? Yeah. So I don't know what they'd be recruiting them for. Like they're not like world
leaders.
They need a
welcoming party. Before, by the way, this is a great podcast. I feel like we're really back to our theory route.
Oh yeah.
Which is fun to dive into, like to not know what's coming or not everything just be nonfiction.
Yeah.
Is a nice feeling when you're having to discuss it on a pod. Before we hit record here, I was listening to Joe Rogan and I was listening to which that'll probably get us another nasty review. Guys, help us combat these nasty reviews. We're being called everything. We're being called racist. We're being called every sort of bigot you can imagine by like the last few reviews. So, and by the way, all these people who say good podcast, but then they just label us all these other shit, which is incredible to me. I can't stand these people. I wish they would give us a chance to respond to these people or that they would be brave enough to put their profiles out there. But
yeah,
anyways, I have a feeling it's the same person making multiple accounts and doing nasty reviews. Anyways, I was listening to Joe Rogan, and he had Tucker Carlson on. That'll be another nasty review.
Oh, I saw that on a little bit on Twitter this morning.
Tucker's off the deep end. I don't mean this that he's not correct. I don't know one way or the other. And I don't think he knows. I think he's just curious. And I think he's just trying to get to the bottom of things. But he starts talking about UFOs. He starts talking about these things.
Oh, his I didn't see that.
ongoing, it starts off the podcast with it because he's been going on that for a while now. Mm-hmm. And he mentions that he believes that these unidentified flying objects are spiritual. He doesn't believe they're aliens. Hmm. He believes they've always been here. But he also believes it's dark. And by the way, this is not me.
Not views of the podcast.
This is not. Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't give a damn if you get offended by this or not. But yeah. I'm saying, like, I don't necessarily believe this. I'm just relaying what he's saying. Because I believe in a spiritual realm for sure. But he believes these are spiritual things. I would assume he's insinuating that these are angels and demons. That's what I would assume based on knowing that he's a Christian. If I'm correct, I believe he's a Christian. Mm. But he thinks it gets darker where he thinks that certain elements in the government are aware of this. And he thinks that certain elements, it could get darker, are actually working for them or under them and some allegiance type of thing. You know what I mean? But yeah. That kind of goes in line with like people who believe in, I guess, Illuminati and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he's saying essentially that the government, some of organizations work in cahoots with whatever beings these are. They work in cahoots with them, whether they're coming from the ocean or whether they're coming from the sky. He says they're not entering the atmosphere noticeably. And he talks about this all being documented. I don't know as much about this topic as others, but going back to the show and how this could relate to the show, if you have people who are working with the Santi or whatever they are, right? Which is interesting because Santi, like that word in Spanish refers to a spiritual, like if you look up the definition of like Santi in Spanish, is like a whole, isn't it like holy? Santo is a form of, I'd have to keep on looking into it, but
yeah.
Santi is an actual name, but
holy, yeah. Santo is holy.
Okay, yeah. So there's kind of different things here where like, what if, you know, they just need an organization to develop, which already has, right? They got business cards and everything on the damn show. They got summits they're doing, okay? Yeah. There's an organization doing their bidding that's welcoming them so that when they get here, the conquest is a lot easier, right? And not only are they doing their bidding, they're actively taking out competitors. They're actively taking out people who are advancing science to the next level, right? The experiments that Saul was doing was, I forget exactly what it was from episode one, but that experiment was shut down because it was obviously a threat to whatever these beings are coming across, and they're getting closer and closer. I think part of this simulation that we're seeing is your Chicken Little theory. They got 1,000 ships. They got 1,000 ships coming this way. Their lights are bright as stars. Mm-hmm. At least that's what it looks like. And they're getting closer and closer every day. And Evans is talking about how there's a hero that comes along every once in a while that helps, yeah. I guess, well, usher these in. And I'm assuming the last one was Vera's mom, ex his lover, or CC his lover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
So yeah, I thought it was, you know, there was a moment where I was like thinking back, I'm like, maybe all the stars flashing were just like the headlights. Just like, all right, everybody on, off, on, off, on. But I'm not convinced that that was actually what it was. I think the biggest thing, or one of the biggest things that's still kind of throwing me is, I mean, the fact that that was like a mass event. It wasn't isolated to a couple individuals. It wasn't just like, oh, you put the helmet on, therefore you saw this thing.
Yeah.
It was like everybody freaking saw it, which makes me think are people living in the Matrix or something now? You've got like something hooked up to you and you're like living in this fake reality, which... I'm not saying this is the case, but look, if that were the case, right, I think it would be a good argument for Jack actually not being truly dead, right? Like maybe he died in this version of reality and appears in some other version of reality.
But that's an end of season or next season.
Yeah, yeah. That's like an end of season reveal. You see Jack just appear in this like slightly similar world, but a little different, a little more dystopian or something like that.
It'll be Matrix-like. Yeah. Like Neo wakes up.
Yeah.
And he sees what the world actually is.
Look, I think it's plausible. I can't rule that out yet.
I agree. I think it is plausible as well. I think all these people could be alive in some way. Anybody who wore the helmet, I think is possible for them to be alive in another form or version of themselves.
What if?
Hold on a minute. This show's so fun.
What
to talk
if
about.
those who put the helmet on? What if the Santee are like stealing the intelligence of humans? Although I find that hard to believe, just because they're so far intelligent. But all right, I guess I was thinking something different. I was really thinking like, what if by putting on the helmet, you're kind of like they're kind of like transplanting your consciousness into their own like body or something like
cancer.
That. Like, something. I don't know. But I don't think we'll ever put the helmet on.
Doesn't Ye Wenji seem kind of oblivious right now? Like I think she's playing dumb.
Or I think she's playing dumb. Yeah, okay. I just feel like she knows way more than she's letting on to. I mean, again, like let's look at Mike Evans, right? Like those two, they met each other. We're due a flashback in the next episode where we start to see like, look, how did that relationship, you know, I guess. Flourish? What did they do? You know, they had to have contacted these aliens together at some point, would be my guess.
So these beings come from a three-body planet is what we're to understand, and so system, maybe that's why the show's called the three-body problem, because these species are going to be a problem, or because they had a problem they couldn't solve it, so now they got to leave, or the three-body problem's unsolvable and so that's why they had to leave. By the way, that Syzygy thing, where everybody in level three, when the first and foremost, because we just had an eclipse, okay? And I know that wasn't two suns getting behind each other, but the Syzygy is like three suns lining up like to form like a power beam that multiplies the gravitational pull with times three or some crap like that. Mm-hmm. So everybody starts floating into the sky. That creeped me out in a way that was unexpected. Just first and foremost, the fact that Jack knew it immediately. He says, "This is a Syzygy," or something like that, and then everybody starts floating. was terrifying. They should have put more haunting music to that.
Just imagine walking around like you're outside. You're just walking your dog or something like that. You know, you're both walking. You're like, "Wait a minute, I'm not on the ground. That's a little weird." And you just keep floating up and up and up and up. That'd be so terrifying. Like, there's nothing you could do. It's like I forget the lady's name from Harry Potter, just floating up in the sky.
Floating.
Yeah.
His aunt.
Yeah. That would be terrifying.
Prisoner of Azkaban. Mm-hmm. That's the book that got me hooked on Harry Potter. Was that one? Okay. What's going on with this AI radio? Why is he locked in this room that looks so depressing? Like he can't leave. Like this AI is just like, read me. Read me, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Read me, Jack and the Beanstalk.
I don't know. I mean, it just feels like it's his office. I don't think it's like, I don't think he's like totally in jail or something.
I know for a fact that you would put one of those on your desk, 100%. I just know you.
What, like a radio?
You put an AI radio like that on your desk, 100%.
I mean, don't I already have an AI radio? I mean, I've basically got like a Siri HomePod. It's shitty AI, but
I'm assuming within the next year or two, Siri and all these AIs are going to be ridiculously conversational.
They're going to have to be, because that, like, it's so aggravating to try and talk to any of these AI systems, because it's just like, it feels like talking to a computer. You need to make something very conversational. What'd you say?
I think you're gonna miss this period of time when AI wasn't conversational. Well, there is probably going to get to a point where people talk more to AI than they do to people.
That'll be a very sad time. But I don't think
it's far off.
I don't think it's far off either. No, with the rate of, you know, how quickly these AI systems improve, it's. I feel like we are at the very early stages of seeing exponential growth in artificial intelligence, like technology. I imagine this will scale like crazy at some point in the near future.
I was listening to Patrick Bet-David's pod, and one of his guys on there was talking about like AI girlfriends. He was saying how they have valued, like, I don't know who did the valuation. I got to verify this myself because I just heard it on the pod. That it's valued in the billions. Like there are people like robot AI girlfriends. Like this is going to be one of these things, man, that, just imagine ChatGPT times 10 in your little Google Home or your Apple Home Pod or whatever. That's what this is going to be.
Or a flesh-covered robot for those lonely people.
Or a flesh-covered robot for the incels. But You know, but I, by the way, I don't think that that's going to be like, if you zoom out 100 years from now, I think that that's going to be something that's like commonplace.
Look, it's plausible. I mean, look, there's some people out there. I don't know any of them personally, but you know, they exist. And if you can like implant some sort of like obedient consciousness in it, or at least something that likes you, I feel like a lot of people are gonna want that. Like, you know, things I don't are gonna want get the complexity of people. It's gonna get really fucking weird.
Things are gonna get really weird in the next 50 years. Which, by the way, that line that Jack says, I love. There's a bunch of really quotable lines in this episode. When Jack says, this isn't next gen, this is five next down the line, when he talks about the helmet, which is interesting that now he's raising the concerns. Which, by the way, if I enter that bar and my question that I ask is, who are you people? Okay, and what is this? And what are we doing this for? And you don't give me a straight answer right there, I'm out. Like, I'm going to die probably because I walked out of the meeting.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'm not putting the helmet on a time in front of you where I'm not in like a safe place to do it. By the way, Jack's home, because you knew something was going to happen. You know, Clarence is outside listening to Radiohead, listening to Karma Police, one of my favorite songs from them. And that house looks so lonely for one person.
It does. It's big.
If I'm living solo and that rich, I don't think I could live in a house that big. There's just no. I would have to just move people in. I would just have to say, like, yo, I got a guest house. People move in, like, out, like, F it. Like, calling up friends who are down on their luck. I'm like, oh, just move in, dude. I can't live here by myself.
I'm sure, you know, aside from just the upkeep for the home, like, that's probably why you would hire, like, maids or butlers and things like that. Just, I mean, would need to have some company.
To stay in, bro. Please. Interesting. All right. So, we're in agreement that whatever that Evans is talking to is an AI.
I don't know, man. Like, is it an AI or is it talking to the Santee? Right? Like, I mean, I don't know how close they are. I don't know how long their communication took to travel from Earth, bounce off the sun, and get to them. I would imagine it was a rather long time. It's a pretty real-time conversation, so I find it hard to believe that it is not an AI unless there already is some Santee being on the planet.
He calls him my lord, which really creeps me out.
Well, I mean, they're worshipping, I guess, the Santee or whatever. I mean, it's like you've self-elected them as your king. Like they're coming to conquer. You want to be on the side of the people that are going to win, or the things that are going to win, I guess. I'm assuming that's how Evans is looking at it.
According to Jin, or according to Tatiana, who talks to Jin and Jack, these aliens, the Santee, gave this technology to the people so that they could understand their story. They could share their story and what they're dealt with the humans, right? Because it's all programming. Think about it.
Yeah.
They have to find out the parameters for the game. Then they have to find out the problem that they were dealing with. And then they have to find out what the actual main issue was, which is the people need a home. You have to save the people, not the planet.
Yeah.
And that's the whole purpose of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to basically make everybody who plays the game understand, like, look, there was no other option, right? Like, we had to leave. That's why we're here. Don't hate us or whatever. Don't fight us. Invite us. I feel like there's something more than that, because if that were the case, like, I feel like this whole game thing or whatever they're trying to communicate needs to be on a much grander scale, because they're only targeting scientists, right? Like, so I can't believe that they're trying to get these scientists to help them solve their problem. They're so much more technologically advanced. Like, that can't be the case. And again, I don't think like the scientists are world leaders or anything like that. So I don't know, like, how much weight would they really have when it comes to like, hey guys, hold on. Don't shoot a nuclear missile up into these spaceships. Just let them come down to Earth and say hi, you know, invade our planet. Like, I mean, can you imagine a government body listening to a scientist or a group of scientists saying that? I could not foresee that happening. I'd be like, fuck no, we're gonna throw everything we got at these things.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I lost my train of thought there for a second with the Santee and the problem of like the scientists they're targeting. I really do think the science that they're targeting is just they don't want science to advance to a point where this version of humanity can. Well, actually, I don't think that there's multiple versions of humanity based off of what we learned in this episode.
Yeah.
Seems like this is, I don't know if this is multiverse or anything like that, but it seems like these are people, or maybe not even people, they're just trying to make this game in a way that is understandable to these humans. Which, by the way, let me just put this out there. Somebody who's played a lot of video games.
Yeah, you're more of a gamer than I am. What's up?
Yeah. But you've played plenty too.
I have.
If you put this helmet on, if you got that kind of level of tech, to be honest, this game is whack. Like, that game sucked. The game is just walk to the house in front of you and solve a riddle. With that kind of technology, if you're not giving me, like, Cyberpunk 2077 or Red Dead Redemption 2 or, you know, honestly, anything that just has more of a game loop, that game sucked. Now, well, maybe in the book they elaborate more that you could do more in the game, but think about it. That game was essentially
a just nerd's a paradise. That's what it was.
It's not, a physicist's not, paradise, right?
Yeah.
But it's a basic, like, that would suck.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, the technology is freaking cool. I do agree with you. Like, if I knew that were the game, I'd be like, dude, I don't have mental capacity to try and calculate this.
We wouldn't
this
get
shit.
Past
like,
level one.
No.
We wouldn't get past level one.
No.
So,
although, yeah, I don't think. Well, level one? I don't know. Maybe you get past level one. I just don't
what was
think
level, you can get past How did she get two. Past level one? What was the answer to level one? That the sun, that there was multiple suns?
I don't even remember. Each of these levels are kind of merging together because I feel like you're just learning the same lesson over and over again. There is no answer.
I would have never gotten the three body problem thing right.
No, just, no, I wouldn't have even known to call it a three body problem. I would have called it a look, there's three suns problem.
Yeah. So Jack leaves, Jin stays, which pretty much cements Jack's death. Clarence, although surveilling Jack here, is not able or to able to do anything about Jack being killed. So I'm assuming next episode either opens with Jack being dead. I don't know what effect this is going to have on the group of friends. Jin's going to be devastated, absolutely devastated. But she's going to probably come clean to everybody and tell them, like, I was invited to this summit. And they're going to say probably, if I had to guess where the show's going to go, everyone's going to be like, you can't go to that. And then Saul's going to be like, well, you actually kind of have to go. Because Saul seems to be the most logical of the entire group, him and Augie, both.
Yeah.
Which he keeps letting Augie down. He's sleeping with these random women.
Oh, my God.
Like,
know.
Every time
but they're
Augie
not together.
Calls.
They're not together, though. I mean,
aren't they? I feel like they are together.
If they're together, I mean, then fuck that
He's doing
guy.
A bad job.
But yeah.
He's doing a bad job.
I just thought they were like exes. I didn't think they were together. I thought they were like, probably well, like before the show started, they were together. They broke up for probably stupid, like, I don't know, dropping acid or whatever. I'm not sure. He's a loose cannon. He's just having fun.
Yeah. He's, but you know, if he actually liked her. You think about it. Like, let's say you liked, you know, you had it with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having, like, an actual breakdown. She has a countdown that she's going through. She's literally thinking, like, she might have to, like, that she was going to kill herself if that countdown goes down. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he's, like, sleeping around and just doing drugs with random, like, hooking up with random chicks. Yeah. Like, how interested is he? You know?
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah, so, it's a pretty shit friend too. I mean, even if you weren't like romantically involved, if you were to like call me up, you're like, dude, I'm seeing a countdown. Like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I'd be like, all right,
you're and then you're not like, picking
go
up the
get
phone.
Go get some help. Yeah. Oh, this motherfucker's
no,
calling
he,
me again.
He keeps,
he's
keeps,
on
he
10
keeps
minutes
her.
Left. Yeah,
you're like, yeah, like if your friend's calling you and then you keep leaving them alone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
But then
what
again,
you mean.
maybe there's an element of it though that he. He's not taking the problem so seriously because he's not personally experiencing it. But he did see the stars blink. So
yeah, I mean, again, to the point that I made in the last episode,
and
how is that
it.
Not a bigger deal? Like,
yeah.
Like, all right, even if you're like, look, the science didn't pick it up, the telescopes in the sky didn't see it, but everybody on the Earth was punked, I'd be like, how the hell did that happen? Like, what technology? Like, sure, okay, whatever, we're being punked, you know, somebody's playing an event, like, I'd be a hell of a lot more concerned about how that happened. If you told me everybody on this planet is going to experience the same thing at the same time.
And she predicted it.
What?
Like, Augie's telling him at midnight something's gonna blink.
Yeah.
And that's it. Actually, I don't know if she did tell him. I think she maybe didn't tell him.
Something was, she didn't tell him because she didn't want like him to be like, I guess, biased in what he saw.
But he was, but it was obvious that she knew something because she brought him there.
Yeah, something was gonna happen. She was very vague. She was like, something's gonna happen at midnight. We should have to look up or whatever. I don't know.
Two things before we end this episode and go to categories that we kind of glossed over that might be really important. Tatiana, the creepy Santi lady. She relates Jin's whole life story back to her, pretty much from the flood in Hubei where she lost both of her parents, to all of that. Unless these beings are able to know someone's entire life story, that machine is getting into her memories.
Had to have.
And learning her inside and out pretty much via that interface. Two. I hope Netflix launches a line of Jack's chips, Jack's snacks as a sideline. I'll buy a box of them for sure. And three, we're going to learn more about this Raj guy, who's an admiral, I guess, or a sergeant. I don't know what he is. His dad was a war hero in India. There's like, it's a really odd emphasis on that scene where they put the dark music to what he saved his whole platoon, you know, in a war against Pakistan. But Will calling him Chaos. We'll see what that amounts to.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts before we go to categories?
I feel like there's a possibility where Tatiana is killing all of the scientists. Like maybe they're not actually committing suicide. Yeah. Like she's killing them. I feel like everybody died in a way where it's like it could have almost have been suicide or something. I mean, like we open up the beginning of the show with a guy that like stabbed his eyeballs out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
which Vera, also Vera not an ideal way to go.
No, Vera jumped. The guy was drowned face down, but I mean, like Oppenheimer style, like you said.
But we didn't know these people. I feel like Jack is going to be the first person that is undeniable that he did not kill himself. Like we know for a fact, he literally earlier in that particular day said, I love my life's great. I'm not killing myself.
Yeah.
He literally told his friends that.
Yeah.
And I think this is just going to be the first time. I think so. There's going to be a merging between this group of friends and these detectives at a certain point here. And you're going to have that force versus the Santi organization. So there's going to be two rival organizations probably. So.
Yeah. What an epic show. I'm going to have to hold myself off from watching episode four today. Ready to record though. Because if you watch episode four today, you're going to be like, dude, can we record another one tonight? I'm gonna be like, no, I can't.
No, I'm going to watch episode four today. I can't hold myself. Like the way that ended, I'm going to have to watch it. I'm not saying we have to record tonight. I'm just saying maybe tomorrow.
I'll probably end up watching episode four tomorrow, but just because today's a busy day for me. But anyways, let's hop into some categories. Let's start out with favorite character of the episode.
Jack, man, rest in peace. It's Jack, he's going to get my favorite character award on his last episode for now. And
I feel like that's an unspoken rule. Like when somebody you love dies in a show, like even if they were like it wasn't their best episode, like I feel like you got to give it to them. You know, like you got it because you're never going to have a chance to give it to them again unless he's still alive somehow. I mean, I'm not ruling it out.
We'll find out.
I think I'll honor Jack in this episode as well.
Well, we know what level four was, right? Level four was
basically figuring out that you can't save the planet, right?
I think level four, the true way to pass level four and not die is whether you're going to accept the people coming from the planet. And so Jin does. So she gets the invitation to the summit. Jack doesn't. He doesn't get the invitation to the summit.
True. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Favorite scene of the episode. Please don't say Jack's death.
No, but it was well done. Favorite scene. There's a lot, man. The whole show's so good. I I think the realization that Evans, I think Evans talking to that AI, maybe, is very interesting. When you get that zoom out and you see like there's a game master behind this.
Yeah.
And then he's just talking to this mysterious creature. I thought that was probably it.
Yeah. I kind of liked the like that montage-y stuff early on in the episode where Jin and Jack were playing the game together.
That was fun.
There was really a lot of this episode that was basically like in gameplay between level 2 and level 3. I thought it was pretty engaging. I liked seeing that that character combo in here. So I'll give it to that scene.
You were right that he essentially changed his name.
Yeah.
He's Sir Francis Bacon.
Hell yeah. That's a good one. How about favorite lines?
Oh my God, there was a bunch. But I can't remember them off the top of my head. I didn't write them down. I like the "this isn't next gen, this is 5 next down the line." I thought that was great. There was a few others, but I can't remember them right now. I'm sure you have some.
I'll pull it from your favorite scene. It was Mike Evans talking to this thing, you know, okay, Lord, I'll read you a little kid's story. Here you go. Let me teach you the, I guess, basics of humans. I thought that was interesting. I feel like we're due to see something on Evans. I think it's going to happen. I feel like next episode's going to really, I don't think you're going to see anything. I guess this is kind of getting into a little bit of a prediction, not something I would bet on, just what I think is maybe coming in the next episode. I feel like next episode, you're probably not going to pick up right away with knowing, is Jack truly dead? Is he alive? Do the friends know? I feel like we're going to start next episode way back in the time, with Ye and Evans. I feel like we're going to see a lot there.
How many episodes are there in this season?
That is a good question. There are
12?
More than 8. Or no, there's 8.
There's 8, that's it?
I think there's 8. I mean, that's what I see on IMDb.
Let's see if you're wrong. Hope you're wrong.
I mean, I'd love for there to be more than 8 episodes, because that means we're basically, the next episode, we're halfway through. That's crazy.
There's 8.
Wow. All right. Damn. Well, what do you think is going to happen in the next?
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's really the only like categories, but what do you think we're stepping into next? I mean, I already kind of gave my thoughts on what episode 4 might entail, but what do you think is coming up?
Well, Jin has a choice to make here. Go double agent or welcome in the Santi. She has to go to the summit one way or the other, because now it's confirmed that if you don't play along with this, you're going to die. And there's nothing you can do, because they have to talk to Clarence and find out the fact that he was outside the house looking at the room and couldn't see the murder happening. So this is going to become apparent that Jin has to go deeper and deeper to see how the sausage is made, I guess.
Yeah. But do you think that's a next episode thing, or like, do you think we're going
to
get a break?
No, this is progress. No, they have to regroup and figure out an action step, and then it probably episode 5 probably takes us to the summit.
That's
if I had
I'm
to
thinking.
Guess.
But then again,
the one thing I've been told about everybody about the show is that every episode is like I haven't. Nobody told me. I didn't get even a hint of body language that said that this thing like is disappointing once you get to like the final episode. Or no, it was just it gets better and better and better and better. That's all I keep hearing. So. If I had to guess, maybe it does happen next episode and they don't just prolong this, or I might have to buy this book like today. Like because I have a feeling the book is crazy. If this show is this good, the book has to be insane.
Yeah. If you read it, I mean, let me know how it is. I probably won't get around to reading it, but
should dive into reading fiction more often, man.
I read some fiction, not a ton. No. I haven't had time to read and like.
I think sometimes you learn more from fiction than you do from nonfiction. So,
well, it's fun. It's like theoretical. It's interesting. It challenges your brain. I feel like it's a little more engaging than reading history at times. But
yeah.
Cool. Well, any closing thoughts on this one?
No, can't wait for the next one. I'm gonna watch it. probably later today. I think NBA playoffs start today too, so I'll probably be watching that. Mm. And that's it, man. That is it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We hope you're enjoying the Three Body Problem. If you haven't watched it by now, what are you doing? I mean, I don't know how. What we don't really rave about shows unless we really like them. And this is in the. This is heading to the Thanos gauntlet, as we used to say, of shows.
It may make it there. That's for sure.
Yeah, at this rate, at the way it's going right now at this pace, I'm expecting a heavier emphasis on Augie and Saul. I think Saul kind of steps up big pretty soon. Mm. And I want to see what Jack's death does to Will. I want to see what that does to him. So tune in. Thanks as always. Make sure if you like this episode, you like this pod, you like this video, make sure to like it. Make sure to review the show 5 stars. And if you want to listen to this on Apple Podcasts, make sure to write us a review of the show. And your support is always welcome and appreciated. So thank you very much. And we have a link to our Patreon if you would like to, or if you're able to help support the production of the show. So thank you very much. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Peace. I feel like that was good enough to end it. I'm not going to do the outro.
I feel weird. I feel kind of naked that you didn't do the outro.
Do you want me to do the outro?
No, we should leave this in. Leave this whole thing. But this is the first episode ever that you ever did the outro.
I know, it is. It's kind of crazy. I just feel like it was such a like calm ending. It was just like, all right, we just close the book. I'm like, I feel awkward opening the book again.
All right, I guess we can over here.
All right, well, have a good one, y'all.
Peace.
Peace.